We've been talking about being in this war with Satan in Ephesians chapter 6. Talked about where we need to rely on the Lord. The topic was sit, and then we need to walk with the Lord. Walk and then stand with the Lord. And that's really where we come to as a culmination of all the book of Ephesians, each one of the chapters, 1 through 5. And then comes down to chapter 6 and tells us in verse 10, Father and brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Two things there, in the Lord and the power of His might. It's not about us, that's that sit thing. Trust in Him. Believe that He's in control. And so, the idea of standing, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, we want to be able to stand against his schemes, his ways of doing things. And as a matter of fact, tonight we'll talk a little bit about that. I mentioned to you right up beginning when we first started the study that pride is hooked up with temptation, which Satan tries to do. And that's why he says to be careful this thing about pride. You know, pride is a destructive force in our life. It's just part of the human nature that we have to keep under control. It's nice to have pride about your work, pride about doing the right things and so forth, but not pride in self, you know, self-grandizement and so forth. And then we talked about the four categories of demonic spirits. That's the first thing he talks about in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he gives us those four categories there that we need to be careful that we stand up against these things. He talked about the principalities, that's those areas that demons have been assigned to, territories. And the idea is keep them in darkness. That's why he used the terminology, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Because in his thinking, the wrestling matches, they were called struggling matches. And when one finally got to where he could not do anything, and then the other one put his foot on his neck and pluck his eyes out with the end of a sword, and he would walk in darkness for the rest of his life. And this is our battle. Light against darkness. Good against evil. And it's going on in our lives. And we're the light. And so if Satan wants to do anything, wants to try to put our light out or dim our light down, so he can kind of step in. It's kind of like he's trying to take territory back that he lost to Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, it's finished. And the Lord gained back all the territory that the first Adam lost. And so, and we don't want to have to walk in darkness. We want to be the light that shines. So he talked about the principalities, talked about the power, the influence, talked about the rulers of darkness of this world, those demons assigned to areas of great control. Believe me, North Korea, demonology runs big in that area. It's a nation of darkness. Many other places. Even in Washington, D.C., it's a place of power. So Satan probably has some of his strongest demons there and wisest demons, wise in dealing in darkness and dealing with Christians and so forth. And so the rulers of the darkness, and then he said the spiritual wickedness in high places. And that speaks of the spiritual wickedness dealing with the high places of religion. In Paul's day, again, and this is a problem sometimes, we try to read 21st century as we're reading the Bible. And the Bible may be talking about something totally different, you know, because we got to go back and think about how they live, what they mean about something, and so forth. And when he when he's talking about high places, he's talking about religion. That's where they would go to the high places and set up their idols and stuff like that in the high places. And Satan's not against religion. He's for religion, because in reality, a religion is actually a controlling factor. It's a false teaching. Biblical Christianity. And I don't look at it as a religion. I mean, I understand it falls under that category. But when I think of religion, I think of man-made ideas and so forth. Biblical, Bible, Christianity. Christ honoring, God honoring. Christ is the answer. Putting Him first. What does the Bible say about everything? That form of belief and understanding. And so Satan hates that, therefore he fights against biblical Christianity, and he promotes man-made types of religion. Then we talk about in verse 13, where it talked about the evil day. Withstand in the evil day, he says there, and the evil day is not some day down the road, it's going to really get bad. Some people teach, it's all about one of these days, Satan's going to kind of rule and reign. And no, he's always been the prince and the power of the air, and so forth. But it's talking about the evil day in your life. You got to withstand it. There's those weak days, those times when it seems like Satan's hitting you on every side. You got to be able to stand. So it's, again, it's not saying when you live in the evil times, but what it's talking about when we're living in personal evil times, when Satan's trying to attack you. You stand up for something's right, and you're shedding light on the truth, Satan might really attack you at that. That could be your evil day in the sense that evil's attacking you. And so what happens when evil attacks? You better have the armor of God. That's the idea here, that we need to have that armor of God to protect us. I mentioned the fact to you that the name Satan means adversary. The name devil means accuser or slanderer. And then there's another name, Abaddon and Apollyon, back up in Revelation 9, which means destroyer in Hebrew. And Apollyon means destroyer in Greek. And so Lucifer, the angel, he was called at the time. Most think he was an archangel, probably the head angel. But that's what happened was what? Pride came in. That's why he uses pride. He loves to use pride in our lives. You know why some people don't get right with God when they know they should as Christians? Pride. You know, I've got to confess that sin. I've got to make things right with somebody or whatever. And we allow that pride. Satan loves that. You know, there's people that's left church and they know they need to be in church. Something happened, they got mad at somebody or, you know, things happen. And then after a period of time, yeah, they know they need to be in church, but they just, it's hard to go back to church. What's the problem? Pride. Just, you know, going back there again, you know. And allow that pride. Satan uses it all the time. And you need to remember that, because we all have pride. And as I said, using it the right way, it's good. Using it the wrong way, which is what Satan wants us to do. Then we've talked about what the armor is. We talked about here in verse 14. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And then in verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now we've talked about this armor. We talked about the belt of truth. It's like that girdle around the middle. And we talked about the fact that It's the priority. It's the number one. You got to know the truth. Where do we find the truth? We find it in, of course, the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God, the preserved Word of God, and it's been the published Word of God, whether by mouth or in writing. And how do you know which translation to use? You better go find out where the translation you're using came from. Right? I want to know where did this Bible translation come from? And I need to follow it back up to the original languages. And if I'm looking at a version of the Bible and I look where it came from and it's coming up through here and I see all these places and things and so forth that don't look good, then I have to question, do I have the Bible? Or do I have man's idea of what the Bible says? And I don't want that. I don't want to get into it, but there's a thing called dynamic equivalency. And what does that mean? Well, basically what it means is this. I don't want to know base. When I open this book up, now the preacher might help me understand what it means, like I've been doing, but that's one thing. But I'm not telling you that's what I don't open the Bible up and it says what I said in there. It says what the Bible says in there. You don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong. Now, the Bible is the Bible. All right? We just preach the Bible. We try to illustrate and help you understand, but the Bible is the Bible. I don't want to write my Bible, and give it out to you. This is the Bible. Basically, don't worry about what it says in King James Bible. What that really means is this. No. It means what it says. Now, I might try to illustrate it, help understand it, and all that. But that's me illustrating. It's not the Bible. This is the Bible. All right? And so, find out where your Bible comes from. Because it's your belt of truth. And we illustrate with the police officer or the military person. They wear a lot of stuff on a belt. And that helps them. And we need that. We need to be able to reach out with the Word of God. We need to reach out. And by the way, I also mentioned four things about I mentioned the fact that Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I mentioned to you there's four cords that need to be wound into our belt of truth, and that is we need to have the right Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, Ephesians 5:19 speaks of that. The Bible is the Word of truth, and the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. We need to know the truth, and so we need that belt. And then we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And by the way, the battle there with the belt of truth that we talked about is because Satan's a liar. So you got to have to know the truth. And by the way, he makes lies sound good. Ever been lied to and the person lied to you made it sound so good? Yeah, we probably all went through that, right? Found out later, everything that person said was a lie. I can't believe that. Well, the devil will do that to you. That's why you have to have the belt of truth. Then the breastplate of righteousness, that's how we deal with Satan as the accuser. Because he's going to shoot those fiery darts at you. He's going to accuse you. Matter of fact, one of the greatest instruments that Satan has is discouragement. And where does discouragement come from? Those fiery darts. He accuses you. Oh, you said that and you shouldn't have said that. And he will get you to do something and beat you over the head with it. He'll get you to say something you shouldn't have said. And then for the next hour or so, he'll follow you around. You knew you shouldn't have said that. And he tried to beat you with it. Or he's shooting those darts at you. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have seen that. You shouldn't have said that. Bam, bam, bam. He goes after you. You better have the breastplate of righteousness. You know what? It's not my righteousness to get me to heaven. it's not my righteousness that makes me right with God. Well, whose righteousness does? Well, the Lord's righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. So yeah, I've said something I shouldn't have said, done something I shouldn't have done, whatever. But you know what? I'm still a child of God and God still loves me. I have the breastplate of righteousness. Because if you don't have it, He's going to discourage you. He's going to get you down. He's going to get you out. And guess who wins when your light flickers? Darkness comes in. He loves that. So don't allow Satan to tear you down. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. No, but God does. And you know what? God forgives how much sin? All sin. Just go to Him. He'll deal with it. How many children got in trouble because they just felt bad and they couldn't tell mom or dad? And then they got in worse trouble. And something else happened. If they had just went and said, mom or dad, I messed up, I did this. But then they tried to hide it, and then this happens and that happens. And next thing you got a big mess out there. If you'd have just come, you know, and just said. Well, God's saying the same thing. My little children, come to me. Amen. Don't let Satan do that to you. Get that breastplate of righteousness. And we dealt with verses and talked about that. Then the next one was the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Satan as a lion. The Bible says, go about seeking whom he may devour. And although soul winning will be the ultimate goal in this, when he talks about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he's talking about actually resisting the devil. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I am not going to be moved or knocked back or whatever from Satan because I know the truth of the gospel. And I stand firm on it. You know, any of these kind of people, anybody really knows, you got to have good footwear. You know, if you're, there's different footwear for different things that you're doing. I mean, you ladies wouldn't wear open-toed shoes to be picking up bricks and moving around. Would you do that? Sure. But, well, except for Sharon. I understand it. But we use, my wife, I know it's turned cold, and so she's not wearing open-toed shoes anymore, you know, which helps our finances because then she doesn't get the toenails painted, you know. So that helps. It cuts it in half or whatever. But anyway, but we know, you're not going to run a race in combat boots, right? I mean, that wouldn't be a good thing to do. But neither would you go into combat wearing tennis shoes or whatever, you know. And there's footwear for all. Well, what about dealing with the devil? You better be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let the peace of God dwell in you richly. Know where you stand. And by the way, when you know the gospel and you stand for the gospel, guess what you can also do? You can give out the gospel. You can tell people how to be saved and what God wants you to do. I mentioned it. You can't outrun a lion. They can run, top speed of a lion is about 50 miles an hour. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't run 50 miles an hour. Even in my good old days, I couldn't run 50 miles an hour. I can't run. I just can't run. So, you know, at my age. And so it doesn't do any good. But so he's like a roaring lion, it says. When he roars it, for a second it stuns whoever he's ready to attack, or the animal or whatever, and he stuns and it holds him in it, and he attacks. Don't let him be that to you. You put on the shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know. By the way, part of that is the gospel of peace. You know what you believe. Stop arguing about it with everybody else. Just tell the truth, tell where you stand, do it in a loving and kind way. That's the gospel of peace. All right? You what's the old thing? You attract more ants or flies or whatever it is with honey than you do with vinegar or something like that. But be shed with the gospel of peace. And so that deals with Satan as a lion, as he tries to attack. God has not given us the spirit of fear, Paul told Timothy, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so we need to have that feet shod with preparation of the gospel. And then he said the shield of faith. Believing God, believing what God has said. And I jokingly said when God told Noah to build the ark, God told him to build it. His wife didn't say, everybody else has got a boat, why don't we, you know, on the lake. No. God said to do it. That's why he did it. God called him to do it. Why did Abraham leave home? He didn't say, I'm sick of this place, I'm going to move. You know, I hear it's a better place to live over there. No, God told him to move. He was listening to what God told him to do. And how do we know they were men of faith? Because God told them what to do and they did it. And we need to be the same way. And so the shield of faith, it guards us against those fiery darts of the devil. And so we have to have the faith, resisting unbelief. And that brings us then to the helmet of salvation. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Salvation. What does salvation mean? It means to be delivered. Right? You're out there drowning in the ocean, and somebody says that person's delivered you. Salvation is deliverance. And what does this mean? The helmet of salvation. It delivers us from the enemy. We need that helmet. Military, they have their helmets that they wear. Back then, again, going back to the time that Paul's writing this, they had, I think they called them habergons or something, but it's like a club on the end of it. Man, you want to split that guy's skull. You know, they didn't have guns that they stood back, you know, 100 feet from each other and shoot at each other. They came right up against each other. They had swords, they had javelins, they had, things they'd hit you over the head with. I mean, it was close combat. And they'd crack your skull if they could. And so they needed to have that helmet. And so that helmet is your deliverance, the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of that salvation or of that deliverance with you. Know where you stand. And then it says here, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Satan attacks the mind. He is one that he wants to get in your thinking processes and get you thinking wrong. And so the sword of the Spirit here speaks of the truth of the Scriptures. What is really true? The sayings that individual Scripture along with the Holy Spirit brings what? It'll bring us back to the remembrance of the truth that is needed at the time we need it. As we get that into the Word of God in our minds, as we know what God says, I can't quote the whole Bible to you. And sometimes people ask questions when I'm talking to them about the Lord, and I can't give them every verse, but maybe God will bring to my remembrance what at one time I've read and I studied, maybe even memorized to a certain extent, and be able to share that truth with them. Satan, as I said, likes to go after our mind, our thought processes. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:4, And he said to them, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He blinded their minds. They're not thinking right. And so God gives us protection against Satan. What is Satan? Satan's a deceiver. So God protects us against Satan's deceptions, his denials. He'll deny all kinds of stuff. And against his distortions. He likes to take the truth and then distort it to make it say something that really doesn't say. That's what happens when you get into Mormonism or you get into Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth. They'll take the Jehovah's Witnesses will take the Bible. Matter of fact, they tell you they use the King James Bible. That's what they tell you. But they don't. They actually use their version. Mormons, they'll tell you they do. But then they say, but we have another book, the Book of Mormon. What they do, taking truth and distorting it, making it into something that it does not really say. And so God protects us against that deception, that denial, or that distortion. What? The helmet of salvation that we have. Apart from the correct understanding of God's salvation, by the way. Now listen to what I'm saying here. This might help you. Apart from the correct understanding of God's salvation, how do you get saved? What do you know the Bible says about salvation? Well, if you don't have that right, you're going to mess up on so many other things. I wrote down here, apart from correct understanding of God's salvation, we cannot reach the proper understanding of God's dealing with mankind. I've listened to men, women talk about God's working in the lives of people and so forth, and I'm thinking, you have no idea about the truth of salvation. How do you get saved? What does God say about man? Well, God says that we're sinners. If you don't have that right, if you're telling people, you know, people are basically good, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're basically bad. You've got a sinful nature. And therefore, you must be what? Born again with a new nature. See? So if you get that wrong, you've started right out with a bad foundation. And guess what happens? Everything you deal with in life can come up with a wrong answer. And we have to start out with that thinking. It must start with, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You get those two things wrong, well, what else is going to make sense? You see, we get our psychology wrong, our philosophy wrong, our sociology wrong, and yes, even our spirituality wrong. Because we started out with what? The wrong idea of mankind for all sin. So now we got sociologists and psychologists trying to deal with people. The problem is that your mom didn't let you have peanut butter sandwiches when you were young. No, the problem is you're just a dirty, rotten sinner. And you need a Savior. See? You got to start with the right. When we were a biblical-based family and society, guess what? We was getting a lot right. When we kicked the Bible out of our schoolhouse, our courthouse, the church house, look at the mess we got. Because we're teaching what we're teaching wrong. We're teaching evolution instead of creation. We're teaching you're not a person until you're born outside the womb. How can we get those things wrong? Because we start out with the wrong base. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We got to get there and get that right. Because the theory of evolution seems more plausible to a person than the story of creation. The theory of evolution, well, that sounds more plausible than there God, a higher power? Well, it does, because of pride. Because we don't want to know that somebody's over us, telling us what right. You can't tell me what's right. You can't tell me what's wrong. No, but if you believe there is a God in heaven, He can. Well, I'm as good as the next guy. Yeah, you are. And we're all dirty, rotten sinners. How's that make you feel? The theory of evolution seems more plausible than the story of creation. Communism more practical than Christianity. You know, a godless building of nations over biblical Christianity, putting God first in our nation. It seems to people that a creed that demands that you must work to get to heaven, that's much more logical than saying, listen, God did it all, you just have to reach out and accept what God did. Oh no, you can't do that. You know what the problem is? Pride. The fact is, I deserved hell, and God loved me so much, He sent His Son to die and take my place on the cross. I just can't believe that. I know you can't. That's your problem. You're going to hell until you do. Oh, who do you think you are? Tell me. I'm nobody. But that's exactly what that Bible says. And when I came to that realization, I reached out and accepted the payment. What's the payment? Well, Jesus Christ was the payment. That's what it means to reach out and accept Christ as your Savior. He paid the price for your sin. But the devil says, nah, you don't want to believe that. And man thinks, well, this sounds better. The creed demanding works seems more logical than the cross, or humanism more attractive than holiness. All that is Satan working on our pride as human beings, trying to say, look, here I am. And God says, here you are, you're a sinner, and you're on the way to hell, but you can be born again into the family of God. Which do you want? Well, that doesn't sound right. I think you ought to go to church, and you got to do. You know, do you believe that I don't think that you should go to church? Well, I'd be crazy to be a pastor then, wouldn't I? Of course I believe you should go to church. I'm just telling you, you can't go to church as a way to get to heaven. Now that, to people, that just don't sound plausible. If you're saved, you ought to go to church. Absolutely, you should be in church. I teach and preach that all the time. And somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't believe in going to church. I don't think you have to go to church. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian, but you better be in church if you're going to be a right kind of Christian. And you'll never grow as a Christian outside the church, because the church, now listen to this, is the pillar and the ground of truth. Where did you get that out, preacher? The helmet of salvation is the Word of God. Nobody believes in being a church member more than I do. Nobody believes in giving, serving, living for God, not doing this thing is wrong and doing this thing is right. All those things you can think of. But none of those things will get you to heaven. You have to know Christ as your Savior. You got to put the cart, you got to put the horse in front of the cart. Started to say that backwards, didn't I? And Satan says, yeah, but that guy, you know, he's teaching you, you can live like the devil himself and still go to heaven. That's just Satan. You've got to have that breastplate of righteousness. Where does the righteous come from? Comes from the Lord. Not from me, not from you, but from the Lord. If you get right down to it, you know what this crazy nut preacher is saying? It's all Jesus. Reach out and accept Jesus. He gives you His righteousness. He takes you to heaven. He keeps you saved. He'll fight your battles. He'll deal with the devil. You just stand with the armor of God. Do you believe Jesus is Christ? Yes. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. These are your instruments to fight the devil. He is a liar. He is an accuser. He's like the lion who goes about seeking whom he, what do I, devour. See? And we've got to stand for what is true. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword. And it talks about how it divides asunder the soul and the spirit, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is the word of God. The sword is the Bible. Satan seeks to undermine it. First, he tried to tell you it's not true, and then when that wasn't working real good, you know what he did? He said, well, let's just make about 150 different versions of it. Water it down. And so we got to learn to stand. It cuts through the Satan's attacks. It's the best answer to all the attacks we have talked about here. It's the Word of God. It's God's truth. All these things we must come. He said, listen, if you're going to stand, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. Do you believe God? Or do you believe yourself? Or do you believe the devil? Which kind of is both the devil. Amen. So, let's stand for the truth. Amen. Let's stand as light in a dark world. Believe in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He can do. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word. Bless it to our hearts. May, Lord, we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of this devil. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.